Our cup truly runneth over. In all joy, we can say that this is our best convention yet. We should like to preface our remarks with one of the poems of the dawn. I think we'll all appreciate this. Can everyone hear me? I always go to Jesus when troubled or distressed. I always find a refuge when I with him can rest. I tell him all my trials. I tell him all my grief. And while my lips are speaking, he gives my heart relief. When full of dread forebodings and flowing o'er with tears, he calms away my sorrows and hushes all my fears. He comprehends my weakness, the peril I am in, and he supplies the armor I need to vanquish sin. When those are cold and faithless who once were fond and true, with careless hearts forsaking the old friends for the new, I turn to him whose friendship knows neither change nor end. I always find in Jesus an ever faithful friend. I always go to Jesus, no matter when or where. I seek his gracious presence. I'm sure to find him there. In times of joy or sorrow, whate'er my need may be, I always go to Jesus, and Jesus comforts me. You received a great blessing from that poem. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow. Protective care in our time. We've heard somewhat of the disciplines today. And as a Christian, we're engaged in a great battle. And there are several disciplines associated with battle, with a warfare, as the Apostle Paul so succinctly brings to our attention that we're engaged in. One of the disciplines is concerned with offense. We have the sword of the Spirit. And another discipline, which we would like to consider somewhat in more detail this evening, is that associated with defense. It's very important to be able to have some defensive measures as well as offensive measures in this warfare that we are engaged in. We have some indication of this in the 26th chapter of Isaiah. And we're particularly going to recount some of the events and our particular defenses that we have concerning these events. Reading in the 20th verse, we have this oft-quoted scripture, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast." Isn't this another indication of the character of our God, who in his tenderness is suggesting that he has a great love for his people? Yes, he's indicating that they should hide themselves till his indignation be passed. And this hiding is the special care that he has over his people. Through his prophet, and he is projecting himself, that is the prophet, down into our time, the end of this age, and he is forewarning us of the great time of trouble. Yes, and we believe that its climax is, as we might say, imminent. This is indicated in the four verses of this 26th chapter of Isaiah. A time of trouble, as we understand it, such as was not since there was a nation. Yes, when the present order of things, civil, social, religious, shall be swept away with the holocaust of destruction. Yet in the midst of it all, in the midst of all this trouble, yes, he would have his people in rest, in peace with him. Yes, the prophet says, and this is in the third and fourth verse, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Truly of ourselves we are nothing. We are but the dust of the earth. But in our Lord God is everlasting strength. And again, the Lord had another of his prophets tell us those beautiful words of trust and confidence. We find this in the Psalms, particularly the 46th Psalm. "God is our refuge, a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed." Yes, though this present social order is dissolved. "And though the mountains or the governments be carried into the midst of the sea," overthrown by this turbulent mass of people in a state of anarchy. "Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swellings thereof, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, is our defense," if you please. And then the psalmist in the 103rd Psalm, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that reverence or fear or reverence him." But while appreciating very gratefully the special love and care for us as his people, in the comfort, in the encouragement, and the protection which is afforded us by our Heavenly Father in this midst of the great tribulation of the world, we would come far short of having his spirit if we would regard the matter with self-complacency? Do you find yourself oblivious to the things that are going about you? Are we forgetful of His great love for the world also in this tribulation? This love we see is veiled behind the clouds of His righteous indignation. Yes, as in His wisdom He strikes the heavy blow which will shatter all the idols. Humble all pride. Yes, He will humble it to the dust. And that in so doing, in these wounds which will be made, He will prepare for the everlasting healing. We have the account of our dear pastor in the second volume concerning the surgeon who must hurt before he can heal. He must cut out so that the wound could heal. If God so loved the world as to give His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have aeonian or everlasting life, He loves them still. Yes, dear friends, His love goes out to all who will. And it is this love that is going to wield the rod for correction. We find this understanding only in the Spirit of the Lord, the rod for their correction. So also would He have His people regard His judgments. Yes, His corrective judgments, if you please. And while rejoicing in the sunshine of His favor, as we are doing now in this convention, yes, because by faith and obedience we have come into an attitude which can receive it. How grateful we should be that we are of this attitude. I think Brother Ralph talked somewhat of the attitude that we should have. Yes, He would have us share His Spirit, not only amongst ourselves, but also be outgoing to the world. And while the blows of His righteous indignation fall heavily, He would have us point them upon whom they fall to the cause of their calamities. Yes, not only to the cause, but also to the remedies. What is the remedy? Why, in returning to God and rest in God, in returning to Him shall ye be saved, as Isaiah the prophet tells us. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Be still, saith the Lord, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 46. But who are those whom the Lord is tenderly designating as My people? Does this class include everyone upon whom His name is named? No, for that would include a great number of false professors. Brother Gilbert called this to our attention. Of having only a profession, it wasn't enough. We had to do something. As the psalmist expresses it, it includes all those who have made a covenant with God by sacrifice. Psalm 50 and 5. All the consecrated and faithful children of God, no matter how young or weak they may be. These whose hearts are fixed firmly and resolutely to be true, to be loyal, and obedient children, all not in their own strength, but by the Lord's assisting grace. To be numbered among the people of God is a very great privilege. Sometimes I do not realize the full import of this privilege. It is not only a privilege, but it is much more than a privilege. Much more both on our part and on God's part. Yes, it signifies that we have become the sons and heirs of God through Christ. That we have fully consecrated ourselves to God to follow in the footsteps of His dear Son. That we have renounced the vain pomp and glory of the world and have solemnly covenanted to live apart from His Spirit, from its ambitions, from its hopes and aims. And not only so, but that in the pursuance of this covenant, we are striving daily to be faithful and meekly to take up our cross and follow our leader and head, Christ Jesus. That, dear friends, is more than a privilege. Signifies something on God's part also. The fulfillment of all His gracious promises to each and every one through Christ, both in this life and in the life to come. Yes, it indicates that in the present life we have His fatherly love, His care, His discipline, His counsel, His teaching, His protection, His encouragement even to the very end. You notice these thoughts are in harmony with everything that has been given from the platform here in the past 2 days. Yes, these are the things that are signified. And after this end, we shall be received into His glorious presence in everlasting rest and joy and peace. Think of it, dear friends. Isn't that a goal that is worthy of our effort? Oh, how blessed it is to be the people of God. Sometimes we take pride in the origination of our nationality. Oh, I've experienced this from some people. They're proud that there are this national origin. They think that this is superior. But think, dear friends, what it is to be the people of God. Even in the present life, the reward of His favor is beyond our capacity. Malachi 3:10. Try me now and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing such that you cannot receive. Yes, the Lord is not miserly to His people. Through all the age, God has permitted His people to be scattered as sheep. This in the midst of wolves, and as wheat amongst the tares. But now the harvest of the age is culminating. And the gathering together unto Him is culminating. Yes, we have been growing in the midst of that great organization, the nominal church. God calls it Babylon, confusion. Some call it Christendom, falsely so, because Christendom means Christ's kingdom. That's a counterfeit. And upon this great system which has appropriated the name of Christ while misrepresenting His teaching and His Spirit, even though they have access to His Word and His truth. Yes. And they had access to many advantages of precept and example. Think of all those who have given their all to defend and uphold the name of the Lord. Upon this system, God is about to pour His indignation, and it will involve the whole world with it. Yes. But before doing so, He forewarns His people to have no part in it, that they be not partakers of her sins, so that they would not receive of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. But while calling them thus to come out of Babylon, He calls them also to come into another place. We might say, into another condition. Ah, this is the beauty of the Lord. This is the defense stratagem. Enter thou into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself until the indignation be overpast. The place of hiding. This is the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. We are reminded of our experience in Arizona at this juncture. Under the shadow of the Almighty, we never thought in all of the years of our existence that we would ever look for the shadow of a guy wire, which was strengthening a pole. But you know, in the heat of the blistering sun, even this very narrow shadow was a protection from that blistering heat of the sun. Think of what greater significance it is to be under the shadow of the Almighty God. This secret place of the Most High, dear friends, is the place where we have intimate communion and fellowship with God through the blessed privilege of prayer. Do we take advantage of this privilege? How often do we invoke it? Or do we depend in our own strength, figuring that things will work out? Ah, dear friends, let us go to the secret place of the Most High. Let us have that fellowship with God through the blessed privilege of prayer and through faith in His precious Word, and further in His promised providential care. The Bible is replete with the promises of God which would guarantee the success of His people if they would but follow the instructions. You know, many times we would like to know how to do certain things, and we seek out instructions so that we might accomplish the thing that we're trying to do. Here God is giving us the roadmap to the divine nature, if you please. Are we eager to grasp that blueprint and follow the instructions and achieve the objective which the Lord has set before us? He's provided everything needful. All it behooves us is to take advantage of it, live up to our privileges. How precious this hiding place is. What rest and refreshment we find in the midst of the commotion that is even now stirring the whole world. Yes, it's stirring the nations. It's stirring Christendom. We had just recently received a copy of a publication from Syracuse, New York, that stated the the Pope. The best thing that he could do would be to dissolve all of his wealth and give it to the poor. But he can't do this because somebody would do away with him if he did. He's between the hammer and the anvil. There's no way out. It's a way with perplexity. The only way out is the way of the Lord. Dear friends, the commotion is very severe. Yes, there's an abortive effort to readjust the present unsatisfactory social order. Look what we're doing here in the United States. Why, the price of meat. Why, we can't even control it. If we have a boycott, we'll drive the price of something else up. If we don't do that, the price of meat goes up. And possibly, even if we do either of these, those who supply it are going to do something that's going to satisfy their ends. Do we have commotion? Do we have the bestirring? Yes, indeed. It's an abortive effort to try to readjust this social order. Yes, an equally vain attempt to evolve the clear principles of truth and righteousness from the present confusion of human traditions. We have in our learning institutions the teaching of the putting away of discipline, mental and moral. Think of it, dear friends. I have a publication where 6 districts in the city of Phoenix are beginning to teach the children to disregard the aged parents. Actually, courses. MAKOS is called. Study of man. Lack of discipline. Yes. But where are we in the midst of all of this? Ah, we find rest in this hiding place. We find peace, we find light, we find joy. And you know, the world can neither give this nor take it away. Only the Lord can give this. Again, are we living up to our privileges as the people of God? Few indeed are those who can understand our motives when we withdraw from the world and when we withdraw from the various organizations. I'm sure each and every one has experienced this at some time or other. When we withdraw from this church or that organization, yes, few understand this. When we do this to walk with God, and many are the reproaches which such must endure for his name's sake. But the Lord says, fear not. Shut thy doors of faith about thee, and heed not the reproaches. Pay no attention. Extend your faith in this hiding place to communion with me. Turn a deaf ear to the things outside and sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your reverence and fear, and let him be your dread. Isaiah 8:13. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That shield is very strong, dear friends. The fiery darts cannot penetrate. No, not even the ballistic armor the ballistic projectiles can penetrate this armor. And it is well, especially in this time wherein we have the greatest need, that the Lord's people should consider the value of this portion of the Christian's armor, and that the doors of their faith should thoroughly shut them into the secret place of the Most High. Don't let the door cracked open. Close it tightly, so that you are contained within. When the reproaches come, and they will come thick and fast, some of us have already experienced it, but there are others to come. Yes. When we're told that we have left the faith and gone after fables, we'll be told that. You're chasing stars. You're going after fables. You'll be told that you have incurred the Lord's displeasure when you do this. Yes. And that whatever you get as a result are the penalties that you deserve. Sometimes we hear this amongst our brethren, that the reason you're undergoing trials is that you deserve them, or you have done something that the Lord is giving you a lesson. This is not necessarily so. Yes, your name will be cast out as evil, separated from the company of those whom they have long regarded as the Lord's people because they reverence His name. This is the time, dear friends, for grasping the shield of faith and for adopting the language of the psalmist, which he shows us in triumph. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Is He actually so? Let's each and every one ask ourselves this. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle shall He hide me. Ah, the tabernacle is the dwelling place of the Most High. You remember how, under the typical arrangement, God manifested His presence in the Shekinah light, and He even gave them direction of the cloud by day and the fire by night. Ah, yes. He shall set me upon a rock. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Oh, have you ever experienced the rejection of your closest friends or relatives? Yes, but the Lord always takes us up whenever we find ourselves rejected. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. No, the Lord's sufficiency is so great that we have no wants at all when we're in the Lord's sufficiency. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. What a beautiful thought. It is to inspire such a faith as this that the Lord has offered us, in addition to all His precious promises, so many encouragements in the Scriptures to a simple trust in Him. A childlike trust, if you please, in Him. Complete trust in the Lord. Yes, He has bidden us to turn a deaf ear to the reproaches of men. And He says this, "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness." Yes, the people in whose heart is my law. Is the law of God in our hearts? Better still, is it emanating from our hearts? Oh, dear friends, it should be. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither ye be ye afraid of their revilings. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Notice the personal interest of God in each and every one. I, this is God speaking. We are often comforted with the thought that one of the reasons for the existence of the Most High God is that he might revive the hearts that are humble and contrite. A personal interest and attachment of the Lord to his people. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die? Yes, we're given the admonition, fear not him who can destroy the body, but rather fear him who can cause oblivion to come to us, both the body and the soul, the being, make it extinct. We have a wonderful Maker. I have put my words in my mouth. Yes, if you have any words of the Lord put them in your mouth. We're not that brilliant that we could do it. I'll speak for myself. I am not that brilliant that I could do it. No, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, and laid the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Isaiah 51. What a great condescension it was on the part of the Almighty God to thus consider our weaknesses. Can you picture our God, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful being, considering our weaknesses? Who is man that thou art mindful of him? And you know he pours the balm of consolation to us. Yes, the balm of his consolation. He would not have one of his children whom his son has made free to come again under the bondage of the fear which bringeth the snare. Oh, we're free from fear. We do not even fear fear. No, because we have faith, we can shut the doors in our hiding place and commune with God who has all power. He would have every man in Christ realize his liberty or his freedom which he has gained from sin and from superstition and his solemn accountability to God for all his thoughts and words and doings. Yes, there is a responsibility with this freedom. This is true even in our legal arrangements for this country. We often hear when an alien comes to our shores that he is offered freedom, but then he is told that he has certain responsibilities. Likewise, in God's arrangement with the freedom that we have, the freedom in justification, we have responsibilities too. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul as he states them in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and 21st verse. He also gives us an account in the 6th chapter of Galatians. And these are worthy of special attention. You've heard this many times. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And let every man prove his own work, not your brother's. Prove your own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another? Yes, we would judge ourselves, there wouldn't be any necessity that we be judged, because we would take the necessary steps to correct any deficiencies. Yes, every individual in Christ is reminded of his own responsibility in matters of faith and conduct. Do we examine ourselves? Do we check ourselves? Do we see that we can walk circumspectly with regard to our conduct in our faith? Not until we have proved what is truth and righteousness, accepting the Word of God as the only standard of authority, is it proper to then take a very firm and determined stand. But having done this, having been persuaded, as the Apostle Paul tells us, in our own mind, yes, after we have proven what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, nothing, dear friends, nothing should unsettle us, yes, from our faith, or nothing should turn us from our line of covenanted duty, and no fear of man should bring us again to the snare of bondage, to superstition again, or to human traditions, or to the opinions of others. If each individual prove his own work, his faith in the doctrines, and his conduct in life, yes, then shall he have rejoicing in himself and not in another. That is to say, his faith, no matter through what privileged means the Lord had given, that it was received, it would be so established by the word of the Lord that it will be our own. Have you made the truth your own? Or do you still have an umbilical cord stretched somewhere to a source of sustenance? If we do, dear friends, let us seek to get the strength that we might sever it and stand in the truth of the Lord. You know, it was the very fact that this principle was neglected and the early church became ensnared in these doctrines, in these creedal beds, because they had not observed this prove all things. Let us remember this command to sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be our fear, and let him be our dread. What's this mean? What does this mean? Do we fear and dread the Lord? Ah, no, dear friends. We fear and dread just as Jesus did, that we might displease the Lord. That's our dread and our fear. Let us see to it that we know righteousness, that we love righteousness, and that we have this not only in our heads, but also in our hearts. You know, the Lord didn't ask us for our brains. He didn't ask us for our wisdom. He didn't ask us for our money. He didn't ask us for our position, our power. But what did he ask us for? The seat of our affections, our hearts. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Yes, we are strong in the strength that the Lord supplies us through our faith. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Another promise of the Lord. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. heirs of salvation. Think of it, dear friends. This is our lot if we remain faithful to our covenant of sacrifice. We are told in the Scriptures that this trouble which is to engulf the whole world will engulf all men. And it'll do this individually, and it'll do it collectively. People are going to cry, "Let the mountains fall on us." But they won't be able to protect them. No, the Lord's people who seek only to draw, they draw closer to the Lord, entering more fully into the secret place of this communion and fellowship. And we shut the doors of faith around us. Yes, there will be safety here, will be hidden from the alarm and the fear, the trembling that will take hold upon everybody else. And while we patiently endure its effects upon our temporal interest, we will rejoice not only in the knowledge of God's overruling providence while this whirlwind is going on, but also in His blessed assurance that His wrath will be thus revealed forever? Oh, no. For a little moment. Except those days be shortened, we are told, there would be no flesh saved. After this little moment, and then His righteous kingdom will be manifested in power and great glory. And we, if faithful, will shine forth. Yes. Along with the Son of Righteousness in the kingdom which our Father has promised. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. What a blessed invitation. Let us, dear friends, by the Lord's grace, so do. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Stanley, for refreshing our minds with these wonderful references to the protective care of our time and the great faithfulness of our Heavenly Father, which I'm sure we each have been experiencing, but it is well to hear it again from others who recount these wonderful promises. Now, in closing, we would like to close, and we'll ask Brother Gorgas to close with prayer, and then we'd like to have you remain for a moment, and we'll have the readings of the song in the night for this date.
Almighty God, in whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning, we approach Thee in the blessed name of Jesus. Dear Father, we appreciate greatly Thy loving kindnesses towards us. Dear Father, it is our desire to be worthy of the blessings which Thou continuously bestowed upon us. Help us, dear Father, that we might have the necessary faith in strength and courage to fulfill that which we have been apprehended for. Help us, dear Father, to ever realize that Thou art working in and through us to the accomplishment of Thy purposes, and that Thou hast made every provision for the completion of Thy work. And it is but for us to submit ourselves fully and wholly to the doing of Thy will. We thank Thee, dear Father, for the blessings of this convention, which are in helpmeet to this end. We thank Thee for the love which Thou hast manifested in and through our brethren. Brethren, on our behalf and on behalf of all of Thy people. We thank Thee, dear Father, for the dear ones who have indicated their consecration to Thee. Grant, dear Father, that they may feel the power of Thy presence, and that their faith may be complete in Thee, and that Thy strength may be made manifest in and through them and in and through us. Help us all, dear Father, that we might hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." Dear Father, we pray for all of thy people, wherever they may be, and especially for those who are in severe trials, trials of faith, trials of affliction. Dear Father, grant to each and every one, as only thou knowest how to do. We know, dear Father, that thou would not let anything come to us except it be for the doing of good to us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. Forgive us, we pray, for the things wherein we have come short. Help us to see and overcome all evil, for we ask it in the precious and beloved name of our Lord and Master and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.